Let's get Ryan Beach here to talk with us. He is one of the best writers in Canucks Nation, talking about the Canucks, and he writes for Sportsnet650.ca. Beecher, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, guys. How are you guys?
We're doing well. We're doing well. Did you give Bic some crap over the photo he posted of you on Twitter?
I did. I was waiting for the call, and I refreshed, and then my big, giant face was there. And then I burst out laughing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely gave Bic a little bit of flack for that one.
Well, that's all good. You know what? I just told Wyatt on Twitter, Wyatt Arndt, the stanchion, that you look like the Sammy Salo of the Vancouver sports media.
And then he suggested, you know, the balls of steel moment. And,
yeah, exactly.
I don't really want to go down that avenue. I didn't have any, like, you know, headshots or anything like that. So when I joined The Athletic, I had to get some done. So then that's where that came from.
Oh, beautiful. We always love having fun with headshots. Trust me, there's a few of myself and John hanging around.
Hey, Beach, you're on the radio here in Vancouver, right? So are you going to make your villain demands now? Like, I need $10 million or else.
I'm plotting my destruction. At least my photo isn't, 20 years old like the one that they were using for Shorthouse.
Yeah, no, that's true. Touche. I think we're just trying to present a younger, hipper John Shorthouse with those photos. Now, as far as the Vancouver Canucks go, and one question we've been sort of throwing out there is, what did the Canucks need more of? You know, if you had to choose one, a true puck-moving defenseman in their system or sort of on the team right now, or another playmaking surefire center, where do you come out with that?
I would probably go with defensemen because, you know, puck moving is, there's kind of two facets to it. There's the Chris Tanev puck mover who's going to move the puck out of your zone and limit chances and things like that. And then you have kind of that offensive puck mover. And I think the Canucks still lack that true offensive puck mover, whether that's like a Sergachev or something like that. So I think they need that in the system more than another center, because if you look at their center depth going forward, it's not perfect, but you can kind of envision a Pettersson, Horvat, Gaudet 1-2-3 for the foreseeable future if everything works out accordingly. So I think that adding an offensive puck moving defenseman is probably the most important thing, and luckily for this draft class coming up, obviously there's a lot that could change, but at this moment there looks like there's going to be quite a few sprinkled throughout the first round. So if they cannot just continue to play how the way that they're playing and make the playoffs or just miss out, there still will be some options that are available.
Now, what about Olli Juolevi? He's gotten off to a decent start with Finland. You've been sort of watching some of the games. What can you sort of tell us about his progress with TPS Turku so far?
He's actually been playing pretty well for them. When we talked last week or the week before, there was definitely some visible rust to his game because he hadn't played very much. But over the last three games, he has 5 points in three games, including two goals. Three goals, my apologies, three goals and two assists. He's getting a lot more confident and getting a lot more opportunities. He's playing now on the PK unit more often, and he's actually getting on the first power play unit with Richard Palmer as well. So progress is being made. He's definitely looking more comfortable. He's moving the puck, out of the zone defensively, like we kind of mentioned there. There's some good things happening for Juolevi, and it's good to see. He's going to get more comfortable as the year goes on and get even better. He was named to the Team Finland exhibition roster as they're going to play some warm-up games for the World Juniors. So that will get kind of take him away from the TPS for a little bit, but he'll come back, play for a couple weeks, and then probably be a huge part of the World Junior team for Finland.
Hey, Beach, I know obviously Adam Gaudet is off to a good start, and Olli Juolevi is doing pretty well for himself over in Finland now, but is any Canucks prospect as exciting right now as Cole Lind?
I don't think so. I think Elias Pettersson is definitely up there for sure, but on this side of the pond, Cole Lind just continues to put up points. I was able to catch some of the game last night, and he's just all over the place making plays. He's kind of very dogged on the puck in the offensive zone. He's relentless on the forecheck and creating turnovers and things like that. And what's really standing out is when he gets a chance now, he's burying it. He's putting it in the back of the net, which he may not have done as much last year, but this year, he's really, really rounding out his offensive game, and it's definitely been fun to watch. And the Canucks fans will get a chance to see him quite a few times over the next couple of weeks, because the Canada Russia Super Series is next week, and he will be representing the WHL, so he'll be on TV a couple times. And then as well as he will be at the LEC playing the Giants on November 18th and the 24th. So if you want to catch him live, there's an opportunity to do so.
Is there any reason to get concerned now with Jonah Gadjevich? I don't know if he's back from injury, but he's certainly missed quite a bit of time already with the Owen Sound attack.
Yeah, he still is out of action. They played on Sunday, I believe, and he still wasn't in the lineup. I haven't heard anything saying that it's going to be a longer-term injury. This might be one of those things where, you know, it needs to feel 100%, and then he'll get back into the lineup. I'm not too concerned at this point, given, you know, a wrist is something that can be kind of finicky when it comes to an injury. So it's not too much of a worry going forward. But, you know, he may have to miss the Super Series because it does go through the WHL and then the OHL later in the week. So he was named to one of the games, and he might have to end up sitting at that out.
We're talking to Ryan Beach here on Sportsnet 650. You can check out his stuff on the sportsnet650.ca or The Athletic, or and as well as Canucks Army. Now, Beecher, I want to talk about Elias Pettersson a little bit. We had Uffe Bodin on, a Swedish sports journalist, and he talked about Elias Pettersson being absolutely mesmerizing so far in the Swedish Hockey League. And he even said that he's on the radar to possibly be on the men's Olympic team in Korea in 2018. How excited should Canucks fans be about Elias Pettersson and the talent that he has?
They definitely should be excited. It's funny, last week when we talked, I was on the way to the arena, and you know, he was about to play 20 minutes after we talked, and I said, oh, hopefully they have a good game. And then I think a good game was a bit of an understatement. He was yeah, absolutely dominant. I was actually sitting, you know, in the stands with my laptop watching the game too. So he had a crazy good performance, putting up 5 points. And as Uffe mentioned as well, he could have easily hit another couple goals. He had a couple breakaways where he didn't score. He's really, really rounding out his game, and he's doing a lot more things offensively that he might not have been wanting to do earlier. I think he's growing very confident with his abilities and kind of figuring out that he can kind of hang in the league, and now he's trying things, and he's now getting rewarded. Earlier in the season, you know, he hit a couple crossbars, hit a couple posts, side of nets kind of things, and now those pucks seem to be going in. You know, at this moment, he's fifth in the entire SHL in scoring, and he has double the amount of points of the next U20 player, so the next player who's under 20. He's just kind of light years ahead of everyone else in his age class. So fans should be excited, but I would expect a little bit of regression points-wise, but if he can hover around that point-per-game mark, then, you know, that's statistically, that's going to be one of the best performances by any player under 20 ever in the SHL.
Just for some context here, leading up to the draft, a lot of people that weren't following it closely looked at Pettersson and are like, well, did the Canucks reach at number 5 to take him? Some people had him outside the top 10. Some people had him higher. But some stats were sort of brought to light. And I know the guys at Canucks Army, you guys talked about this before, and other sort of scouts looked at him and said, well, he really did not have a comparable as far as his production went in his draft-eligible year with what he did in the Allsvenskan with Timrå. Can you talk a little bit about how high his ceiling is and sort of how well he played last season, and maybe he should have gone higher than he did at number 5 even?
Yeah, you brought up a good point there. I think there was a lot of discussion at the time of if it was going to be Cody Glass or someone like Casey Middlestad or someone like that. And I was definitely on the Cody Glass bandwagon and still think he's going to be a very good player as well. But Elias Pettersson is kind of a step above at this moment of all those players. And as you mentioned, when we use a kind of a tool that statistically looks at players' points and their you know, their height and weight and things like that, and balances it based on their success rate. And there was no comparables for Elias Pettersson, and that usually happens for players that are way off the, like, way too high. And another example recently is Clayton Keller, Austin Matthews, players like that just don't have a comparable player because they put up so many points compared to you know, historic numbers for their age group. So yeah, the argument could definitely be made that, you know, Pettersson could end up being the best player out of this draft class. It's just because that people were scared because he is so lean. And I think that a lot of times that gets overstated, and you kind of have to take that, you know, take that into consideration, but put it aside and look at what kind of player he is and what kind of success he's having. And, you know, we see now that he's smart enough to realize that he is a slight, you know, he's very slight and light, and he uses that to his advantage. He doesn't put himself in situations where he's going to get overpowered. You know, for an example, I've seen quite a few times where he's going into the corner, getting the puck, and rather than going directly into there because he's probably going to get, you know, manhandled or be held against the boards, he'll kind of stop and hit back on the defender, which forces them to give him a little bit of space, and then he can kind of go with the puck. So I think, you know, statistically, in the way he plays, there's a lot to like and a lot to definitely defend the argument that he could be the best player coming out of this draft class. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
Right,
because,
of course.
You know, you know, saying that now,
right,
going to, you know, clip this and it's 5 years, they're going to point to me being wrong. But, it's definitely it's encouraging, but we'll see how the rest of the year goes and if he can continue to keep up this pace.
Well, you're right about, you know, getting too caught up in size and stuff like that at the draft. Of course, if a guy's like 5'6" or something, you know, that could sort of play a part into whether you draft a guy high or not. But you just talked about Clayton Keller. He was 5'10" in his draft year, one of the smaller guys, under 170 pounds. He was drafted 7th overall, and I don't think anybody's talking about him being too slight for the National Hockey League anyways.
No, exactly. You kind of get those players that are just too good despite their size. And I think Kyler Yamamoto is another player that just kind of goes in that same category. And I was actually a huge fan of his draft year. That, you know, the players that recognize their deficiencies and then try to work around them and be better, you know, to work overcome those, that's the players that you kind of want to target. And, you know, although Kyler Yamamoto hasn't really been putting up points, you could definitely make the argument that he's an everyday NHLer at 18 years old, and his shot generation rates are through the roof. So, you know, it's just a matter of time until we see Kyler Yamamoto as another player of that group. You know, Clayton Keller is an excellent example just because he tore up the under-18 program. Like, there's no comparable players to him. And now he comes into the NHL and he just kind of keeps doing what he's doing. And I think there'd be a lot more hype, even though there is some, if Arizona was, you know, winning games. But unfortunately, they've come up to a rough start. So it's kind of a, you know, I don't think Clayton Keller's getting as much hype as he deserves, given how talented he is.
Ryan, Twitter has been going off on your photo.
I know.
while you've been on the phone with us, you're a good sport, my man. Talk to us a little bit about the AHL's most recent goaltender of the month.
Demko has been a brick wall. I think that's the most appropriate way to say so. Is you know, he last year when he started the year, there was definitely some adjustments. He felt he looked to be small in the net, and he looked to be beaten by pucks. When, you know, Bachman was called up a couple times, Demko got a run with it and played really well during those time frames. So far this year, he's taken another step forward, and he's doing things that, you know, he looks huge in the net, even though he's playing deeper in the net. And he's almost forcing guys to beat him, and they just can't. I'm going back through all the games right now to kind of track where he's beaten, how he's beaten. So far, all the goals that I've seen have been by broken plays where he just wasn't ready, or rebounds or things like that. He's gotten to a point where the first shot is not going to beat him. It just depends on his teammates to clear the puck. He needs to keep playing down there and keep, you know, keep getting starts and keep doing what he's doing. But, you know, the first, you know, half dozen games here so far this season is extremely encouraging.
30 seconds before we let you go so you can deal with Twitter, man. Your thoughts on Adam Gaudette and how just explosive this guy seems to be.
Yeah, Adam Gaudette's off to a really good start. He's got 13 points in 7 games so far. He had a great weekend and was named the Hockey East Player of the Week after scoring a hat trick and then another goal the next game. You know, kind of like Cole Lind, he's just relentless on the puck. He's all over the place. And what really has stood out about his game so far for me this year is that he now kind of has that extra step. He lacked that kind of quickness to get going, and now he's able to do that and actually beat players to the puck and creating more chances from that. I know Sat mentioned that we might see him at the end of this year just because the Canucks might do the same thing as they did with Besser, and I think that will happen just because Northeastern probably won't go too far in the playoffs, so we might see Adam Gaudette sooner than later.
Hey, absolutely. Hey, Ryan Beach, or should I say Lex Luthor, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me,
guys. $10 million or Vancouver gets it.
All right, great stuff. Make sure to check out Ryan Beach's stuff on The Athletic, but more importantly on Sportsnet650.ca. Go on a deal with Twitter, all right?
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too.